Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio WEEI, Christian Arcand, Megan Ottolini here with you on this snowy Monday. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment as we take you up until 6 o'clock. It was a tough weekend for your Boston Red Sox. And how could it have been a tough weekend? It's not like there was some big signing they didn't get. It wasn't like, the season started and they had a bad weekend or a bad series. No. It was winter weekend. Red Sox winter weekend out in Springfield.
Yay!
Conveniently out in Springfield, Mass.
Yay, it's so fun.
Which was just it was at the Mass Mutual Center, which is right across the street from the MGM Casino, which is where I parked. And just so happened to walk through there on my way, to
wait, 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 wait. When you described this event, because you went there for your Saturday show.
Yes.
I thought that it was in the casino and that's why you were playing craps while you were there.
No. I parked in the casino and then walked across the street to the Mass Mutual Center.
So this is like how yesterday I said I have to go to the grocery store to pick up some food, and really was because I wanted to go to the Star Market where I saw online that Girl Scouts were selling cookies.
Kind of,
that's kind of what you did.
I mean,
my version was way more innocent, but
I wasn't
same idea.
I didn't drive 2 hours to Springfield just to play craps for an hour, which is what I ended up doing, and won a little money, too, by the way. But no, that's not the whole reason why I went out there. I was there to do my award-winning Saturday program, of course, and to hang out with my good friends Rob Bradford and Ken Laird and Chris Curtis and all those guys. And, of course, Doug Lane. Which I hadn't seen Doug in a while. We belly bopped. It was great. Anyways,
okay.
That was the good stuff that happened. Also, David Ortiz Saturday. David Ortiz came and did an interview with us. He talked to Ken and Curtis. And when I tell you that there was a crowd like seven rows deep around the stage that we were doing the radio from, it was probably even bigger than that. And people were just chanting and, trying to get his attention the whole time. He was cool as hell. He was up there with his sunglasses on answering questions. And, that was another highlight, I would say, of the weekend.
Big, big pappy over here, you heard?
Other than that, it was pretty rough for the Red Sox and their brass. Certainly on Friday night, which is when they had their town hall. And also when I think, the first time, you're right next to a casino, right? So if people come out there and they're waiting all day for something to do, what are they going to do? They're going to go gamble, maybe drink a little bit in the casino. They got into that town hall and they let John Henry, Chaim Bloom, Sam Kennedy, and the rest of them, they let them have it.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah, they could hear you loud and clear, John, and they did not like what you had to say. Let's just take a quick listen in case you missed it. To the reception John Henry got.
Would you like to address those concerns to fans who say, why aren't you at the top if the prices are at the top?
Yeah.
Clap it up for Tom Kennedy.
I think the most important thing I can say is that it's expensive to have baseball players. To have the best.
Hold on a second, Ryan. The best part of that whole part of that booing interlude right there, the reason why you don't hear Henry saying anything is because he kind of just looks out at the crowd and shrugs. He's like, I guess. I mean, come on, it's expensive, you guys. What? You don't think it's expensive to have a baseball team? It's like, no, John, we know it's expensive to have a baseball team. We're aware of that. We're not stupid. We're just asking why you charge more than anybody else for your baseball team and then let all the good players leave in free agency or you trade them away. That's what we're more curious about. Now, if Henry wanted to give an honest answer there that wasn't going to satisfy anybody but was maybe a little bit more sincere than this, he could have said, listen, We have the smallest ballpark in all, out of all the bar. I think it's smaller than Wrigley, right? It's the smallest one.
Smallest ballpark.
It's the smallest ballpark in all of baseball. The Yankees, the Dodgers, these other teams, they have way more seats that they can sell, so they don't have to charge as much, and that's why they can afford more players, and that's why they can sort of do all these things, and we can't. And that wouldn't have been a great answer either.
We have played like bleep.
But that's a lot better answer than, hey, it's expensive. It's expensive to have a baseball team. Like, no kidding, John. You think that's gonna calm the masses? Give Chaim Bloom credit. At least he tried to explain himself as he went back over the Mookie Betts trade and unfortunately said the word Betts about a million times.
Not enough, right?
Yeah, listen to this.
1 year away from free agency with a superstar player. And we didn't sign him. And I want to explain why, because it relates to where we're going. It relates to where we're going. We didn't sign him because when you make those bets, they're big bets. And those bets, hang with me here.
Stop saying bets and we'll hang with you.
Those bets usually, now y'all know it, you guys are smart. Those bets are much better up front.
Hold on a second, Ryan, real quick. You guys are smart and very handsome, and you're all probably well endowed.
Great hygiene.
I'm looking at this crowd. I'm seeing a lot of really good-looking, impressive
a smart,
people out
responsible
there.
Stock portfolio.
Are any of you guys single?
I got a niece who would love each and every one of you guys.
You guys are smart. Those bets are much better up front and on the back end. We know that. Every team knows that when they're making those bets. But if you want to make that type of bet, you better be ready to back it up. You better be ready to surround that bet with a whole lot of talent, a whole lot of young talent, or you're not going to win. And you see it all the time in this game. You see it all the time. And I don't think anybody would disagree where the organization was. We just weren't ready to back up that bet.
Man, he said bet a lot. Maybe too much. Maybe a little too much. You know what? Sort of, I think, made all that really hollow. You need young talent. You need more prospects. You need all this young talent to surround your great players. Is, okay, say that's true. And it is to an extent, I think. You don't need young talent. You just need talent. But let's say it's young talent that he really prioritizes and thinks is the most important. What's that young talent going to turn into? Mookie Betts? Andrew Benintendi, Xander Bogaerts, who you're just going to let walk when they start costing money? Like, why should we get excited about these prospects if you're going to treat them like you're the Florida Marlins and you can't afford to keep anyone once they start outplaying their arbitration and their rookie contracts? Like, how does that make me feel better as a fan?
How does it make the clubhouse feel?
That too.
Also, yeah. I mean, if you're a prospect who comes up and is then playing in Fenway day in and day out, and you look at the way that things have gone recently under this general manager and ownership, don't you feel like you're in your starter home? Okay, I'm going to play out here. Maybe we'll have a great year. Maybe one out of the next three seasons will be pretty good. And then I'll go get paid somewhere else.
Hang with me.
You're all very handsome.
That's who they are right now.
It's true.
The Betts thing was weird. He got stuck on that word. That became the worst crutch word he could have chosen.
It really
talking
was.
Were they sauced up?
I mean,
on a Friday,
they were selling alcohol.
I wasn't there.
So they were selling alcohol in the arena at
they
that
were.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you got a sauced up crowd and you're just saying the name of a recently departed darling of a player over and over and over again. Bad verbal crutch.
It's like a bad wrestling promo. I understand we're down here at the MGM in Springfield and there's a lot of gambling going on. Well, I got something that you can bet on. Da, 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 da. Now let's try again back to the drawing board.
Yeah,
this is interesting. So Chad Finn from the Boston Globe, he just tweeted this out. Because Nesson is supposed to air the winter meetings tonight, he reached out asking if there would be any kind of editing or anything, or if they would show the booing.
I mean, they're going to have to edit some of it for FCC reasons, but yeah.
So, was the language like that?
I didn't hear any. Like,
one of the
cuss
videos
words.
I heard a cuss or two, but it was just like, I mean, it was din, you know, in the background.
Yeah,
so.
I probably won't get picked.
So
yeah.
The response he got from a spokesperson was, "The show tonight at 8 p.m., as is always the case with television production, we made tweaks where needed to accommodate sound quality in the unique amphitheater environment at MGM and condensing a 90-minute program to the hour-long format of the show. With that said, the lion's share of ownership front office Q&A is included in the show."
All right, we'll see what that lion's share actually is, because it sounds like they could trim out about a half hour and make it seem a lot different than it really was. You
suck.
What if they do extremely creative editing, and when they come out, there's like a band playing, and everyone's like, yes!
Just gonna be 55 minutes of Charlie Moore.
Well, John Henry says, you know, it's expensive to have a team, and they cut to the crowd as a standing ovation.
Well, that's the thing. They had a crowd coach.
It's just like a cut in from a past Golden Globes award, like a Golden Globe award audience where everyone's like,
wow, beautiful. Like The Rock is there. Like, yeah, that's amazing.
But that's the thing is, like, they had Meryl a crowd Streep coach.
Like, why the hell is Helen Mirren at the Winter Weekend? She's like, bravo!
Way to go, John Henry. Awesome. Wait, there was a crowd coach, you say?
There was a crowd coach off to the side, like it was an SNL episode.
Was he
or
wearing
something.
A uniform, like a manager?
He was wearing, like, a Nesson uniform. Mm. But you can go back and look in the videos because he's off to stage right. And he's just waving his hands like an air, he's out on the tarmac.
Are you sure
at
it wasn't
Logan.
Someone who was doing
no,
like
the entire time he's like this, like trying to tell everyone to just silence, and it was just like the most meaningless job in the world at that moment.
I think the
wait, that guy to the side waving his arms. I thought that was the interpreter. I thought
no,
that was like,
no,
really?
No, no,
that was there, the co. I thought that was it for deaf people. I thought it was
there was
sign
an interpreter
language.
On the left side. There was a crowd coach
okay,
on the right.
So there wasn't there.
What right, is a crowd coach?
He's just telling you when to clap or when to laugh and whatnot.
Can a light do that?
Yeah. Also, bad sign when you have to do that.
I got it. I fixed it.
The most informing thing I can say is that it's expensive to have baseball players.
Bravo. Bravo, John. Wonderful.
When you make those bets, they're big bets. Those bets usually, now y'all know it. You guys are smart. Those bets
yes,
are much
we are
better
smart.
Fun.
Yes, thank you.
And on the back end, we know that. But if you want to make that type of bet, you better be ready to back it up. You better be ready to surround that bet with a whole lot of talent.
Sounds great. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. That's what it's going to sound like on Nesson tonight. Let's go to the phones real quick. Bill is in Rhode Island. He has a thought on John Henry's comments. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys, real quick, and I'll hang up and listen, but John Henry's essentially a bozo because he's talking about baseball players being expensive. How about the guys that he has to pay for in soccer, hockey, racing? So maybe if he wasn't dipping his budget into all different sports, he could focus on the Red Sox. Thanks, guys.
Fair enough. I mean,
thanks, Bill.
You Pittsburgh know, Penguins, they all do it pro bono.
They can,
love of the game.
They can afford to get more baseball players or hockey players or racers or whatever, you know, well, soccer players.
Even, this is an issue over at Liverpool as well. Like, Liverpool fans hate John Henry because he won't spend.
Everyone hates him. Everyone hates
it's,
him.
If you don't want to spend,
it's so funny.
Just don't have the team anymore. Yeah. Just sell the team. You're worth $4 billion.
Or buy, like, the Oakland A's.
Your
buy
job a team is where people to don't pay baseball you players. Your job is to pay baseball players and make the park nicer every single year, even though it's a crumbling relic and just a museum, and you can't sell enough tickets. This is the job of owning the Boston Red Sox. And if you don't want to do it anymore, then don't do it. Fine. Like, yeah, I don't... The baseball players cost a lot of money. Like, that's something new? I just can't. I thought that was the worst answer. Ugh, the worst answer of the entire evening.
Here's
was,
a relatable thought.
Tough.
Baseball teams are expensive, right, guys? Hello?
Right?
Hello?
Me and all my other this billionaire friends were just talking the other day about how expensive it is to do this. So, you know, you guys should all be able to relate to us. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Here's Ryan Garvin with what's trending, and we'll dive back into winter weekend with the Red Sox next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
617-779-7937. There's your phone number. It's Christian Arcan, Megan Ottolini here with you for another 40 minutes or so as we continue to pick apart what happened over the weekend at Winter Weekend.
picking through the wreckage.
In Springfield. It was wreckage, too. It really was. I mean, that first night, that was, I've never seen anything like that before. The type of people who usually go to these things are not fans who get drunk and yell stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, I just sort of feel like that's not usually the
crowd that
they're
expecting.
It's not a
lot of our callers.
Right. It's not our callers. It's not people up in the bleachers who are, you know, screaming at people and, you know, raining down chants and things like that. It's not, it's generally not. It's usually kids and parents and, you know, just fans. Fans who are there to just enjoy. And for to their credit, the Red Sox had a lot of stuff for fans and kids to do there. So it's not like it was some, you know, cheap thing. Like, it was a pretty good weekend, I'd say, in terms of what they were trying to make it. But that Friday night, I mean, that took it to a whole nother place. And the next day, it was kind of awkward. I mean, you see these people walking around. I talked to Chaim Bloom. And when he sat down, I sort of asked him, I'm like, tough crowd last night. He goes, yeah, well, we were no good last year. And I feel like that's sort of what they're leaning on. Well, we weren't good last year, and that's why everyone was mad. It's not it. That's not the reason.
Do you think he actually feels that way?
No. I think that's sort of what he was saying.
As long as he's not lying to himself, because it seems like he's lying to everybody else, and that's, I don't totally blame him. I actually am at the point where I feel bad for Haim.
Oh, this is great. This is great. Everybody hates
me. This is the company line. And by the way, kind of rude for Sam Kennedy. When getting asked about Haim getting booed, Sam Kennedy says it's, quote, awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That's awesome. Our fans are so great.
So awesome.
That's
like, don't,
awesome?
Don't say it's awesome. Like, what
How
are you
about
talking
no?
about?
How about just saying, we hear them.
I love getting
was,
booed off the,
yeah,
booed
so
off the stage.
Awesome.
Sweet. Like, that was
awesome.
It's one thing I've always dreamt of is going up there and having the fans of the team I own boo the hell out of me. I'd say, you know, every,
boo the
every
guy
little
that
boy
you
dreams
hired.
Of that someday.
So rough. And I know Sam Kennedy... Look, John Henry spoke for the first time in, what, like 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
And Sam Kennedy just routinely steps in it because that's what he gets paid to do.
Yep.
And I don't know how he continues to all the time. But to say that you're, what is it, president of baseball operations, analytics,
Chief
master, human,
officer,
yeah.
Yeah,
whatever, calculator man, is getting booed.
It's just great to have people together celebrating baseball, showing us the passion. Last night was... awesome.
Oh, yeah? That's why you paused for 10 seconds before you said it?
Last night was so great.
Last night was awesome. I really enjoyed
Unless he hates
when
time.
They booed us.
Unless he hates time. He's like, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
It's what you expect when you have a last place finish.
Yeah, okay, all right. But Sam, that's not the reason
Sam
why they were
Kennedy
doing
that. Sam Kennedy also, he can't get through a sentence without cracking himself up.
Yeah.
It's like, what you expect.
No, it's, I mean, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You have a last place finish. Your fans aren't going to be happy. But that's not why they were doing it, Chaim Bloom.
Maybe
that's...
we were guilty of just being too open and honest about our love. And
yeah. Yeah.
Is that what he does when he lies?
I'm hilarious.
Is that his tell?
That might be his tell.
He's like,
yeah.
This is such bull crap. I'm not even believing it.
Honey, I wasn't out last weekend.
Awesome. It's what you expect.
I can't believe I'm saying this in public.
Honey, I did the dishes. Like, what are you talking
about? Put this microphone in front of me.
Please. Yeah, Kennedy talked about being guilty of loving Xander Bogaerts too much, and that's really what this is about. That's what the booing was about. It wasn't just coming in last place.
Love for Xander Bogaerts.
Okay, that's it. But yeah, if you had just come in last place, you've done that before. You've had last place finishes before. The fans got over it. They didn't let you have it like this. This is different. This was a last place finish. Highest ticket prices, and Xander Bogaerts walking right out the door a couple years after Mookie Betts was traded away for nothing. And exactly. I mean, people are annoyed, people are upset, and people are voicing their frustrations about it. I talked to Chaim Bloom the next day, and I asked him about the Bogaerts negotiations, and I asked him about that article in The Globe by Julian McWilliams, where he basically said that at the airport, everybody sort of found out at the same time that Bogaerts was going to San Diego, and that Chaim Bloom looked totally shell-shocked, like he had no idea that that offer was coming and that they were totally caught off guard by it. I asked him about that, and here's what he said.
We had a good sense, even from the night before, that, you know, this thing was probably going to go to a place that we were not going to go. And, you know, we got to own that. I've been pretty blunt about that. I think we all have. Good for Xander. We love him. We just did not think that that type of deal was something that was going to be good for the organization. And you go back to the comment that John made yesterday, you know, sometimes making what you think is the right decision for the organization is not going to be popular. And it's not even, you know, sometimes you got to break your own heart because it's the right decision for the organization.
So basically he's saying, I knew that this was coming. I knew that there was going to be a bigger offer. We had a sense that the negotiations were going to a place that we weren't willing to go. I wasn't shocked. I wasn't surprised. And I still think there was some. You remember that day when Karabas and Sean McAdam and everybody was tweeting, oh, about to get some good news.
It's momentum.
Here we go. Here it is. Get ready for a big Xander Bogaerts announcement. And then the announcement
was, lots of traction.
He's going to San Diego on a much bigger deal than anything the Red Sox were even considering offering.
Sometimes you got to break your own heart.
Yeah. And I know that they didn't just make that up out of nowhere. I know that there was someone in that office that thought, hey, Bogaerts is coming back. He's ours. And we just locked it up and we're all set. So I don't know if that came from Bloom. I don't know if it came from somebody else, but whatever it was, I mean, talk about missing the mark. I mean, if you're playing darts, you miss the whole board.
So you know? It does sound like a little bit of rewriting history. Mm. And I would have preferred if this was the truth. If the truth was they just never really wanted to pay up for Xander. At least that would make sense and it wouldn't look like they were incompetent, you know? If the idea was, we're going to see how Xander does this season, and he still didn't show us enough, and he's turned 30, and we just don't want to pay that much for that long of a contract. We're going to spread it elsewhere. But it really just reads like they misread the market. They offered him 90 for 4 years, which is not what you do when you love someone too much.
Right.
Like, if you love a house too much, you don't put an offer in that is $200,000 below the other offers. Like, you just don't.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it works.
You waive inspection and you go way over and you hope that that offer is going to do it. And I know this.
And they did that with Raffy. They did that with Raffy. But, and I'm not saying that they even had to do that, but you don't come in way under to the point where the realtor is looking at you like, are you freaking kidding me? Yeah. Why did you waste my time with
this? No one's going to even consider this. They're not, Boris isn't going to consider this.
Which is what happened.
Yeah.
So the changing narrative is pretty irritating from Haim here. Because if it was the case of they were just honest and they just said he's not really in the long-term plans, it's heartbreaking for us too, but we feel like this is the smart baseball decision and we promise you we have a plan that there's going to be something that works out. This is plan A. We're not just doing stuff by flying by the seat of our pants.
Right.
Which is how it looks. And now they're trying to rewrite it. And that's what irks me.
Yeah, and it should. I mean, there's no reason that any team like the Red Sox should be losing out on players that they really, really want to keep, if that's what they're saying. Now, it's an 11-year deal worth $25 million per year. I don't think that that's outrageous money for Xander Bogaerts. I don't. I don't think that that's the type of money that should have been prohibitive and should have made Chaim Bloom and John Henry and everybody look at it and say, $25 million for Bogaerts, that's too much, we're out. I don't buy that. I'm sorry. Xander Bogaerts was too productive last year. He was a top hitting shortstop in all of baseball. And just to sort of dismiss that and say, well, you know, $25 million, what are we supposed to do? Offer 26, you know? And if 11 years was too many years, then maybe cut down on the years a little bit and offer more money, you know? Do something like that if you really love the guy so much. And not for nothing, but the guy you brought in to replace him is all banged up too. Now, over the course of the weekend, we found out that Trevor Story does plan on playing this year. That's what he said.
Yeah,
I don't know if he actually will.
He does.
He came out and said, I'm planning to play this year. I will be playing this year. Chris Sale, another guy, he came out and said, I'm ready to go. Everything's good to go here. So
someone posted one photo of Chris Sale, and I feel like he's one of us. And when I say us, I mean me, long-limbed freaks. He does not look good. Like, somebody posted a photo of him during a scrum. He was just talking to a bunch of reporters.
Didn't look good in what sense?
He looked so thin.
Well, he's always been that way.
But it was, I felt like maybe some time off he would gain a little something.
He was going to chub
up.
Is
that crazy? He looks so frail. So frail. Like, I look at that guy as a fellow early 30-something that's very frail, and I'm like, I don't have any confidence.
Put him
that he's
on the Jabba Chamberlain diet. That's what he needs.
Puff him up real good. Like, I don't understand how he sustains this. Is his whole family like this?
I don't know. I don't know his family. Couldn't tell
you. If you met my family, you'd be like, yeah, this makes sense.
You come from a long line of slender people.
These people come from like a malnourished area of Ireland, and this is their
great grandfather was a popsicle stick.
Pretty much. I don't know. I just say you talk to him. Ken and Curtis talked to him about his bike accident, though, right?
Yes, they did. Do we have this? Do we have anything from the bike accident? So this was interesting. He described what happened when he was riding around.
It's factually.
Yeah, there was some questions that people had, and Ken and Curtis, to their credit, sort of pressed him a little bit on what exactly happened there, and I guess he was planning on just hanging out with his buddies, playing video games all day and eating Chipotle, and while he was biking over to do that, well, he took a little tumble.
How are you feeling? What happened on the bike? How are you looking forward to bouncing back this year?
Good. Actually started playing catch right around the same time. Got off the mound before I got up here, been playing long toss, so everything's been going good.
You were hoping to come back and pitch, right? If not for just a freak thing that happened.
Yeah, I mean, my thumb doesn't even feel like it ever broke. I got basically full extension now. I mean, I can do all this, so it's fine. Hopefully the luck turns. You know, what can you do?
Stop riding your bike around, maybe. You can stop doing that.
What's he going to do? Make him a bubble boy?
When you're 7 feet tall and weigh 20 pounds.
You're not allowed to ride bicycles?
No. I'd say don't ride your bike anymore. You're too. It's just not worth it. You're too gangly.
He
and you're going
to stay inside. He's too gangly to ride a bike.
He's too gangly to ride a bike. Yes, he is.
My favorite
Even
part
like
of
a
this?
Special bike for big, weird people like him. I don't trust him to ride it.
Okay.
I don't.
The bikes with the one giant wheel?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was picturing. My favorite part of this was he was talking about how much he loves riding bikes with his kids around Florida. Mm-hmm. But he said, it's something we do quite a bit in Florida, quote, where we have flat paved roads.
It's fair.
Once again, infrastructure in Boston has failed Boston athletes, just like Jaylen Brown getting stuck in traffic for 2 hours when he was trying to go 15 minutes. Michelle Wu, why did you make him fall off his bike?
I don't know about making him fall off his bike. I do admit there's hills and stuff, especially
although
over where he was biking. He was up
Chestnut
by like Cleveland
Hill,
Circle, right? Or was it Chestnut Hill?
I thought
he was at Cleveland Circle.
He said he was by BC. So I think we need to follow up with this and find out whether he was in Boston or Newton or Brookline.
And then
because somebody's
got to
answer. Somebody's got to answer for that pothole. That's an expensive pothole.
Yeah, it definitely was. And let's see. We'll see what Sale looks like. He's an important factor in all of this. I mean, you talk about this pitching rotation. It looks a lot different if you have a healthy Chris Sale in it than if you don't. But I feel like we've been saying that for 3 years now. 617-779-7937.
At the trade deadline when Chris Sale comes back, that's
right.
Like making a blockbuster trade.
Sure. Why make a trade when we have Chris Sale coming back at the deadline? I mean, think about it. Matt is in Walpole, who has a thought on Xander Bogaerts. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't let this slide. Did you just say that the San Diego Padres didn't overpay Xander Bogaerts?
I didn't think $25 million was that much. I didn't think that was a ridiculous offer. The 11 years may have been a lot, and I think that's what scared him off, but I didn't think $25 million was that much of an overpay for Xander Bogaerts. No, not at all.
I think that the $125 million that you're going to be paying him from ages 36 and on might be a little ridiculous, and I think that if the Red Sox can get away with trading for Kim from San Diego, who's only got 0.7 war less than Xander Bogaerts, and I don't even know how much money less, but it's way less than that, then I don't know how you can really call it a failure. I get Xander Bogaerts was beloved by Boston, but we're talking about a guy
he was still
who had
very
15
productive.
Home runs.
Who cares about his home runs? He is first in shortstops and on base, and I think second in slugging percentage, OBP, like led, I think, all shortstops and hits. He was very productive, Matt, and not only that, but that 25, hold on a second, Matt, that $25 million in 6 years isn't going to seem like that much money. It's a lot of money now. In 6 years, the market's going to go up. $25 million is not going to seem like that much.
What's the point in keeping him if he doesn't have power, which is the one problem that the Red Sox really had? You can just get Kim, who's really not that worse.
They got a lot more problems. They have a lot more problems than that,
Matt. There's a lot more problems
than the power problem. And Xander Bogaerts, one of the better hitting shortstops in all of baseball. Did he hit a lot of home runs last year? No, he didn't. Neither did J.D. Martinez, who you moved on from because he's a DH, and that's all you need from him. From Xander Bogaerts, I'll take what you got from him last year. I don't care, he only had 15 home runs. He was one of the best hitting shortstops in all the whole league, not just the AL, the whole league.
Add to the fact that he's asking for someone that just got a cup of coffee because Fernando Tatis Jr. got hurt. Like, he had a solid, Kim had a solid year this year in San Diego.
I didn't even know who he was talking about.
No, he's just some, like, utility player. He's a Brock Holt. I love Brock Holt, but he's a Brock Holt. And to expect that you're going to get power out of a Brock Holt, like, that's just insane. The fact of the matter, and it traces its way all the way back to Chaim Bloom saying, we want to secure someone that we can build around.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't willing to do that with Mookie. He wasn't willing to do that with Xander. They did that with Devers now. But what do you have around Devers? Like, you're just proving your point that this is a bridge year, and you're just lying to every single, like, Red Sox fan right now.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And I think that's what part of the reason why the vitriol was as bad as it was. Like, what does this team, do we feel any better about this team? Chaim Bloom can come up there and say, hey, we got all the prospects we need now, and we're feeling really good about the future, but is any fan feeling that way? Does any fan feel like they got better than they were last year when they were in last place? Like, no. No one thinks that. And they were a last place team last year, and then you got worse. The only thing you did was keep your guy and sign Duvall, and that's basically it, and Kenley Jansen. Like, really, there's not much else to even point to. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that the long and short of it here is that if you don't try and dress this up and put a positive spin on it, people aren't going to show up, right? Like, if Chaim Bloom went out there and said, yeah, we're still a couple of years into this, and we're still not quite there yet, but we'll be there in a year or two when these prospects grow up, then people are going to say, well, I'm not going to the games this year. I'm not going to waste my money on season tickets if this isn't even a realistic season to, you know, to invest in. But if he comes out and says, you know, we got these great young players, and now they're going to be surrounding our stars, then at the very least... Then at the very least, you have something you can kind of beat the drum on, you know? Well, we got this going, you know? We're excited about this. We're optimistic about this. But no fan really shares that optimism.
Well, I also think, to the caller's point about it being overpaid, because by the time he's 36, the back end of the contract is going to be nearly null and void because of his aging.
Right.
I agree from a financial standpoint, but that's how all of these contracts are right now. And you just did the same thing with Raffy. So it's more that you can pick and choose and decide, well, this guy's 26, this guy's 30. And that's the difference between whether we're going to make a long-term investment on him, knowing that the back half of the contract is always most likely going to be kind of a waste. That's the sandbox that everybody's playing in right now in terms of the contracts. And I think that's what's so alarming about the initial contract that they offered, that it was only 4 years, $90 million. That's just telling a player that you're not interested in investing in them at all. So once again, like, don't go back now and try to rewrite history when everybody has that number at their fingertips.
Yeah.
I think it's just very frustrating.
Yeah, listen, Xander, we like you a lot, but I mean, let's be real. You're going to be 37 in 7 years, so we can't possibly pay you. I'm Sam Kennedy now. We can't possibly pay you that money. I mean, that argument makes me so crazy. Oh, he's got that's so much money for 36, 37, 38. Okay, great. What about 30 to 36? Do you think Xander's going to be good next year? Do you think Xander's going to be good the year after that? Yeah, probably. It's the cost of playing in the sandbox.
That's the thing is, I agree. The contracts are crazy. You know, good for them getting their money. Baseball players are expensive, mm-hmm. as we heard from John Henry. That's the nature of the business right now. Maybe it'll change. Maybe something will change 5 or 6 years from now, and everybody will all look back on this era and go, oh my God, I can't believe they were giving those contracts out. But unless they have some intel that that's coming down the pipeline, then I don't understand how you're picking and choosing some of these investments.
Let's take one call here before the break. Richard is in Framingham. Hi, Richard.
How's it going?
Going. What's up?
So was that Chaim Bloom that just called, by the way?
I think it was.
It's insanity, the fact that people don't understand. I pay a lot of money to go to a Red Sox game. I want them to put the best product on the field.
Yeah, fair enough, Richard. You're right about that. Thanks for the call. And I think that's ultimately what people are the most pissed off about. You know, you preach all this stuff about how it's expensive to own a team, and that's why we have to charge the most money, and then Xander Bogaerts still leaves and go because you didn't offer him enough. You know, so which is it? Is it too expensive to own the team? If it is, then maybe sell it to, like you said, you know, if it's not financially working for you to put a competitive product out there, if that costs too much for your liking, then sell the team to someone who's more willing to do that. You know, it's really what it's about. It's about your willingness to go and spend. And I don't think that Chaim Bloom is the one who's making these decisions and overruling John Henry and Tom Werner.
He's
and
making
saying,
some of the decisions.
I, Chaim Bloom, am deciding not to sign Xander Bogaerts, and I, Chaim Bloom, alone am deciding to trade Mookie Betts. Like, I just don't buy that.
No. But I also think that he has played a hand in a lot of these miscalculations,
sure.
If you want to be generous.
Yeah, I think that's fair. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. We'll come back and wrap it next. Come on, babe. Hey, that's Sports Radio WEEI, Christian Arkin, Megan Ottolini. Before we get to the almost end of the show, we got a quick Celtics update for you.
Yeah, this is from Steve Hewitt of the Boston Herald, Celtics beat writer. said Jason Tatum, this just published 3 minutes ago, Jason Tatum acknowledged Monday offseason surgery could be a possibility to repair his injured left wrist. That's the injury. He missed Saturday with the against the Raptors due to soreness. But I also kind of wondered if that was in the cards after the way he played against the Warriors.
Yeah, which was...
having played 48 minutes.
48 minutes. He had a good game. I mean, obviously, he had a lot of bad turnovers at the end, but they still won, and they wouldn't have won without him. His full quote here was, is this going to require surgery? And he says, maybe. I don't want to say yes. I don't want to say no. It's something we've got to look at when the season's over. So... clearly not bothering him so much right now.
He said, it's nothing that's going to cause me to miss significant time the rest of the season. Just making sure I'm all right.
Okay.
So Hewitt writes, it's possible that Tatum rests more games during the second half of the regular season. He's also dealing with discomfort in his thumb and ring finger on his left hand. Who isn't? Am I right, ladies?
Hey.
And in order to stay fresh for a long playoff run, I hate myself. When the season is over, surgery could be on the table for his wrist.
Okay. On top of that, tonight, Robert Williams out. Marcus Smart also out. Williams had been questionable. He was just ruled out by, I believe Joe Mazzulla said that that's the deal there. So shorthanded tonight against Orlando, a team that randomly just owns them anyway. And I'll tell you what, not having Williams more so than Smart, I feel like that's problematic because for whatever reason, I don't know why, they never like deploy this against any other team. But the Magic, everybody on their team is like 6'10". Mm-hmm. They got all these like 6'10 guys. They're all really big and tall and skinny and, you know, kind of like OKC. And they really present a lot of matchup problems for the Celtics, offensively and defensively. And if Williams was playing, I'd say, well, at the very least, you got a big guy in there who can, you know, keep those guys off the rim and maybe clear out some space. But without him... you know, you got a bunch of young, fast, tall guys who are not really good against anybody else, but for whatever reason, I'm still not sure what it is, always kick your ass. So it'll be interesting tonight, the Celtics in Orlando to take on the Magic, and then they got a back-to-back tomorrow as they go over to South Beach to take on the Heat. But right now, what's it time for, Ryan Garvin?
It is time for the almost end of the show, which is sponsored by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Call them right now, 877-CARS-4KIDS today, or online at carsforkids.org. Remember, that is Cars with a K. Now, I don't know how aware Bruins fans are of what's going on with the big old hockey teams on the other side of the country, but there's been some big news for the Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, yeah.
They have fired their head coach, Bruce Boudreau. I think they lost 28 of 46 games this season. Jim Rutherford, their president, was saying, you know, this team needs surgery. I know Bo Horvat has been a big part of a lot of trade rumors going on. And I can understand. Look, hockey names can be tough.
Mario Lemieux.
I totally understand. But if you're going to...
That's not one of the tough ones.
Oh, you don't think Mario Lemieux is a tough one? I would agree with you.
No.
Maybe if hockey isn't part of your everyday lexicon, you might struggle with some stuff. I saw this on Twitter a little while ago. This is Fox 5 in Atlanta. I guess they're doing their one-minute sports update, and they also just touched upon Bruce Boudreau, his firing. He was replaced with Rick Tocchet, who had been doing the TNT analyst stuff with Paul Bissonnette and Anson Carter. This is how it was handled on Fox 5 in Atlanta.
Former Washington Capitals coach Bruce Boudreau has been fired by the Vancouver Canucks.
Ooh.
The team announced the change Sunday,
Canucks?
Less than a week after president of hockey operations Jim Rutherford said major surgery was needed to fix the Canucks. Rick Tocchet was hired as Boudreau's replacement.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Swing
Tocchet yeah. hired.
Well, she got Rutherford right.
So this is Atlanta, right?
This is Atlanta.
That's producer's fault 50%.
Yeah.
If you're writing out the prompter for her and you know that she's not super familiar with that lexicon, you put it phonetically.
Former Washington Capitals coach Bruce Boudreau has been fired by the Vancouver Canucks.
I mean... it must have been a slow sports day in Atlanta.
Right.
That's what I thought.
If they're
as well.
Talking about the Vancouver Canucks, because, you know, that's not anything that Atlanta has to do. Atlanta doesn't have a hockey team anymore, right?
That's true. Why the hell are they talking about?
The Thrasher's been long gone.
They're out of town.
Thrasher's been long gone. Well, so Bruce Boudreau.
Former coach of the Canucks.
Brodo.
Yeah.
Not having a great weekend. You know who else did not have a very good weekend? That would be Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp was at the Lakers game.
I thought he had a great weekend.
Oh, you thought he had a great weekend? Well, Shannon disagrees with you. If you didn't see it, Shannon Sharp was at the Lakers game when they hosted the Memphis Grizzlies. He was courtside, and he got into a very large altercation with, I think it was Dylan Brooks, John Morant's father,
dad,
I think,
yeah.
also as well. And now they've hugged it out, and it seems like it's all water under the bridge. So, obviously, Skip Bayless didn't do himself any favors with his DeMar Hamlin tweet, and that was a big issue when Shannon Sharp came back that it wasn't really properly addressed. Shannon Sharp started Undisputed today with an apology for the ages. If you're ever struggling, if you ever have to do a big public apology like this, maybe take some notes. I actually need to trim this down. This is about 3.5 minutes of him apologizing to people. Here's the best of it.
I want to apologize for my behavior. You know, guys, I've preached for the last 6.5 years, responsibility and accountability. And I take full responsibility for what transpired. It does not matter what Dylan Brooks said or how many times he said it. Me being the responsible person, me having the platform that I have and having so many people look up to me, I was wrong. I should have lowered the temperature in the arena. Instead, I turned the temperature up and I let it get out of hand. And I want to apologize to a few people. First of all, I want to apologize to the Lakers organization. I want to apologize to the fans that were in attendance and the fans that watched on television. I want to apologize to the Memphis Grizzlies. More specifically, I want to apologize to Dylan Brooks. I also want to apologize to my stylist, Hollywood.
Like
I also want to apologize to LeBron James. I want to apologize to my family. I want to apologize to my brother, my sister, my mom, my kids, and my grandson. And I'm never going to be too big to say I'm sorry. I'm never going to be too big to say that I was wrong. And last but not least, I want to apologize to you, Turbo. You've been great to me. I appreciate everything that you've done. I'm not perfect. I am not. And I'm never going to say that wasn't Shannon Sharp because that was me. That was just me getting out of character. And I'm sorry for all those that saw my action and took offense to my actions. I am sorry.
Well, listen, he handled it about as well as he could.
I was more offended by Skip Bayless' little video throwing his Dak Prescott jersey in the garbage. I was more offended by that.
I could have talked 20 minutes
had some issues about Skip Bayless.
About him wearing shoes inside his house is gross. That's gross. Maybe, like, only because I live in the city. Nobody comes into my house with their shoes on.
Take your shoes off.
You take those shoes off.
Well, yeah. There you have it.
I don't know what you've been walking through.
The almost end of the show, which, of course, naturally leads us to the very end of the show where we are done for the day. And as always, we are followed by the Rich Keefe Show, 6 to 10.
Yep. Rich Keefe's coming up next. For Megan Ottolini, I'm Christian Arcan. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on Sports Radio WEEI. See ya.
Former Washington Capitals coach Bruce Boudreau has been fired by the Vancouver Canucks. The team announced the change Sunday, less than a week after President of Hockey Operations Jim Rutherford said major surgery was needed to fix the Canucks. Rick Tuchel was hired as Boudreau's replacement.
Mario Lemieux.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.